There's a new pandemic coming. Are you ready? Are we ready? Also, malls are dead. What's next? And 10 longevity experts agree on the best diet. And I had an online fight with Pride Radio. I'll tell you why. Oh, yeah. At it again. That's me.
Uncensored. Unfiltered. Unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Karellcast. I am Karell, and I'm so very glad to be here with you today, or any day after the month I've had. I hope you're having a great Friday into the weekend. April is here. Spring has sprung. Half the country is under a snowstorm. California's getting rain. It's freezing and cold here in Las Vegas with wind. But hey, and we've been told this morning that there's going to be more hurricanes in the next season, this coming season, than ever in our history. But y'all know that climate change is a myth, right? I got a lot to talk to you about today, including this letter. Let me get this letter here. This letter that I'm holding in my hands from an attorney. You got to hear this. This is good. And we're going to be talking pandemics and the mall and everything. You might hear Ember barking. I have a new neighbor moving in to where my neighbor Drew moved out. He sold his place for $260, which is good for me because I paid $159 for mine. And I got to tell you, I'm not dishing on anybody, and it's just a first impression, and I just met him for the first time. But honey, I don't know how these people afforded to buy a place because, well, let's just say there's a trailer park missing some residents somewhere. But anyway, so bad. Oh, it's fucking Friday. You know, what do I care? Fuck it. My Fridays are like fucking Fridays. You know what? I swear. I have always sworn. On KFI, they were always terrified, always by the dump button. Well, we all know the fuck Joe the Plumber thing. But I've always, I grew up a Bette Midler, you know, fuck them if they can't take a joke, or choke them if they can't take a fuck, but whatever. So I have always sworn. So I just now on the podcast, I just talk like I normally talk. If you've been to one of my live shows, you know, I have a filthy, filthy, vile mouth. But it's so lovely in my mouth. Let's start with the letter. Because as you all know, I have been trying to find an attorney to take the case against GlaxoSmithKline. Because when they gave me the shot, they never told me it could reactivate shingles. They never told me I could get meningitis or neuropathy or all the things that have happened to me. And I'm having expenses and you know, the whole thing. So I'm trying to get an attorney. So Richard Harris Law Firm, a big one, sent me a letter, you know, a rejection letter. I'm used to those, honey. But I got this letter. I have to read it to you. Dear Mr. Boulay, thank you for providing information regarding your potential case to our firm. We have reviewed information regarding your potential claim. Unfortunately, in the state of Nevada, there are severe limitations and restrictions on the recovery of damages relating to claims for medical malpractice, including a cap on damages of $430,000 for pain and suffering. That means compensatory damages. That's tort reform. That's what tort reform did. So basically, in a medical malpractice case, they could kill you. They could kill your loved one. And the most they'd have to pay is $430,000. That's what you're worth in Nevada, dead, maimed, or injured by medicine. California, that's only $250,000, I believe. When I fought with it for Andrew, that was the max. So they have put caps because they used to get $1 million, you know, some doctor killed your husband out of negligence or your wife or whatever. The juries would award millions. And now, nope. So here in Nevada, it's $430,000. That's the max. That's like if you're dead, maimed for life, whatever. Moreover, any complaint must be accompanied by an expert affidavit from a healthcare provider practicing in the same field as the defendants, meaning we'd have to have an expert affidavit from someone, a pharmaceutical company, because of that's what GlaxoSmithKline is, at the time of the malpractice. There are various other obstacles to pursuit of these types of cases, including repayment of any medical expenses paid by insurers. So let's say that 3 days in the hospital cost $60,000, $70,000. If I sue and I win, that has to be paid back to the insurance company. So they're saying, look, the case at max is worth $430,000. We probably won't even get that. And then it also says, as in Nevada has been deemed to preempt the statute which attempts to insulate medical malpractice from these claims. In other words, in other states, they say, no, you don't have to repay the insurance company. They can go after them on their own. In Nevada, we say, no, you got to repay the insurance company. Unfortunately, the cost and risk of litigation of this type of situation make it very difficult to feasibly pursue cases. Tragically, many cases with merit cannot be pursued given the cost to litigate and how it often far exceeds potential recovery. Given these circumstances, we are sorry we are unable to assist you. This does not mean you do not have a claim. However, you do need to file within the next 24 months, blah, 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 blah. So what this letter says is, look, your case, even if you win the max award, is only $430,000. By the time we have to recoup our expenses, which could be $100,000 or more to fight GlaxoSmithKline, and by the time we repay the insurance companies for what they've done, there's not enough money in that $430,000 for us to really take your case. Can you believe this? Because the cap is $430,000, because we have to pay back insurance, because GlaxoSmithKline will make my attorney spend a fortune to fight them, I'm being turned down. And yet it's almost a $500,000 case. But that's just not enough money. Just not enough money. Sorry. Given the caps, given you have to repay the hospitals, given all of that, it's just not worth it for us. This is where we are now with medical malpractice. This is where we are. Doctors and corporations in the medical field have insulated themselves against being sued because large law firms don't want to spend the money to recoup only $400,000. And that's the max award. I probably wouldn't get the max because I'm not in a wheelchair for life or on a ventilator for life or whatever. So they may settle with me for like $200,000, $300,000. Well, if 100 of that goes to the medical insurance companies and then they, you know, all the other things, they're going to walk away the, you know, with $80,000, $90,000 plus their expenses, which means I would get almost nothing. Let's say I got 300 and let's say it cost them 100 to prosecute it. Another, let's say 100 all told for medical. That's $200,000 plus their fee. 30% of 300,000 is what? 90. So 210, the 300 would become 210 plus 100 to the hospital, 110 plus 100 to the lawyer to fight it. I'd be left with $10,000. And that's why they won't take the case. Isn't that something? Isn't that? So that's all you're worth. In Nevada, if the hospital totally screws the pooch, if the doctor totally messes up and you can find an attorney to take the case, the most you'll get is $430,000, even if somebody died. Even if it's an executive making $1 million a year, doesn't matter. That's what you're going to get. They have protected themselves. Oh, and if you read, malpractice insurance has gone down for the doctors. Have they passed that savings on to you? No. The number of cases of malpractice cases have dropped 90%. That doesn't mean that there's 90% less malpractice. It just means those people can't find lawyers to take their cases. We live in a fucked up system. Donald Trump is running around free. He should be, his bail should be revoked. He should be in jail waiting trial. He's not. Lawyers won't prosecute malpractice because there's just not enough money in it anymore. Is any system in our country actually working for us? The criminal justice system is not working for us. There's a ton of people in jail that shouldn't be, and people that should be aren't. The economy, they say, is working for us. It ain't. More reports out today, $111,000, what it takes to live in Nevada to afford a mortgage, not rent, but a mortgage. $111,000. So the people next to me, obviously, I don't know how they bought that house because, quite frankly, they don't look like they make $100,000 a year. Is any system in America working for you? I'd love to hear your comments below. Can you think of one system that actually is working for you? The healthcare industry is not working for you. 19 hours in emergency rooms that are run by private equity firms, so much so that Congress is now looking into it. So the healthcare system doesn't work for you. The economy isn't working for you. Gas for almost $5 a gallon. You don't have access to alternate fuel vehicles because they're too expensive. Is anything in this country actually working for you? I'd like to hear your comments below. What system do you think is actually working for you? I'd love to hear that. All right, let's go now. Well, since we're talking hospitals, big scare, bird flu. Should you eat eggs? And you know, is it now it's in cows? And is it the next epidemic? Let's continue on with the medical theme. We learned fucking nothing from COVID, okay? All you have to do is go to a hospital and go to an ER and right now, today, and realize we've learned nothing from COVID. They're understaffed. They're under-equipped. There's not enough rooms for the existing people. Now, I spent 19 hours in an ER, and of that, I spent 5 hours in the lobby where everyone is getting treated, in the lobbies now. If you go to an ER, chances are you're going to be treated in the lobby or a hallway. They don't have the room. Now, what happens when another pandemic like a bird flu comes along? What happens? They're going to crumble again. And why? Because private equity firms and private companies are running our healthcare system and they're not investing in it. We need bigger spaces, ERs with more rooms, more doctors, more nurses. And they're not doing a thing to make that happen. So, of course, we're not ready for the next pandemic. Of course, millions will die needlessly, and we will be powerless to stop it because the healthcare system is just one virus away from crumbling. It crumbled 4 years ago, and now that it's rebuilding, it's not rebuilding. We're not alone. The NHS over in Europe is at its lowest point in terms of public approval. That they too are having 20-hour waits at their urgent cares and, you know, no hospital beds. And every health in the world, every modern healthcare system is on the verge of crumbling and we're not fixing it. So you know what? It's a crapshoot. You may live, you may die. I don't care. I don't eat meat or dairy. So I really don't care. And, you know, today they've been doing all these longevity stories out of Sardinia, Italy, and all the other blue zones. And there's a documentary on Netflix about it. 10 longevity experts, all agree that the only diet is mostly vegan diet. And the only meat that they eat is fish. That's it. No chicken, no fowl, no turkey, no lamb, no cows, no pigs, fish. They say you can have fish a couple times a week and the rest of the time, mostly vegan. This is every expert now. Every expert that has studied longevity and what diets we should be eating, they all agree a modified Mediterranean diet, which is fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, seeds, seed oils, and fish 2 or 3 times a week. And that's it. That's it. So, you know, yesterday, I was very happy yesterday. I just want to tell you all my patrons at patreon.com/WillyCorrell. You guys, I had such a great day on Thursday. You know what I did? First of all, I used this finally. Here we go. Look at this. Do you all see this? This is a studio microphone that Michael Eckhart, my producer of 35 years, got me. And it's fabulous. Oh, well, he told me to get it. He didn't buy it for me. But he got me a great deal on it. This is a $700 microphone. I paid $189 for it. On credit, of course. But, and it's all, this is the setup. It's a shock mount. And this is how you record. And yesterday morning, I did a rehearsal take of a song I'm doing, a remake of a Sylvester song from 1982 called Do You Wanna Funk? Yes, honey. Do you wanna funk with me? And I was right here at this microphone doing it. So that was really great. And then, Randall, I spent the afternoon editing Die Healthy, 22,000 words. I'm now ready for the recipes. And in that book, it says what all those other experts say. If you want to live a long time, it's a mostly vegan diet. All right, when we come back, malls are dead. What's going to replace them? And my online fight with Pride Radio. What was it about? Florida. How do you feel about Florida? We're going to talk about it when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in 60 short little seconds. Oh, my God. It's just a little tiny break.
Hey, Carell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there. It's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support for the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
If you need any good news, Truth Social is tanking. It is tanking because it's worth nothing. It lost $50 million. And if this keeps up and he can't cash out for 6 months, he won't have billions of dollars of which to cash out. So he's already sued the founders, he said, for mismanagement of the whole IPO because he sues everybody. He can find attorneys to sue people. I can't. But yay, he's already lost $3 billion in market share in the last 4 days. So bravo. Keep it up. Tank him. So that's fabulous. Remember on Fridays when you were a kid, a lot of you, we used to go to the malls. Remember, I went to malls every so often. I didn't never really a huge fan of malls because in the movies that I watch, that's where zombies attack. That's where there's mass shootings. That's, malls to me were a target always my whole life. As a gay person, as a gay kid, I used to go to malls to have sex. You're like, what? Honey, in the late 70s, like 1978, when I was 16, there were notorious bathrooms, like at Macy's or May Company. The May Company bathrooms in Westminster, oh, yeah. I mean, full-on sex in the bathrooms. Full-on. Like, so as a 16-year-old gay boy, not knowing where to go for sex, I'd go there and had some hot times. They all say, oh, that's gross, Carell. I don't care if you think it's gross. They're called tea rooms. They're a part of gay culture. Straight men and gay men like to go have sex in bathrooms. They still do to this day at truck stops, rest stops, all over the place. If you're a straight man and you're listening to me, you know you've walked into a bathroom that had a glory hole in the wall. You know, and those are often put there by the police, by the way, because, you know, what, a queer is going to bring in a drill and drill through a wall? No, the police put it there so they can make arrests for lewd conduct. George Michael got busted for having sex in the bathroom. I mean, gay men has, and straight men have sex in a bathroom. And the reason the police don't shut it down is they make a fortune off the tickets. It's $1,900 a ticket if you get caught having sex in a bathroom. And most of the guys are so ashamed because they identify as straight that they pay the fine. And so they're a big revenue generator. That's George Michael called the cop out. The cops aren't supposed to have sex with you in the bathroom. They're supposed to, like, entrap you, basically. Well, the cop that George Michael did had sex with him and then arrested him. And that's how George Michael got out of it, because the cop isn't supposed to. So malls used to be a place for cruising, for sex, for a young gay person. But as for shopping, I never had the money. I would go to camera stores in malls. That used to be my porn. I literally used to, and it's no wonder that I ended up in entertainment and loving microphones and lights and all of that, and cameras, because I loved camera stores and like Guitar Center and music stores. And those were often in the malls. But the other stores, oh, Hot Topics. Oh, yeah, Hot Topics. I used to love Hot Topics. They had all the strange jewelry and this, you know, all the punky stuff and the steam. So back in the days of drag and stuff, we used to go to, like, and then there was a hairdresser salon that my friend Michael owned and ran in the Westminster Mall. So we hung out at his place all the time. And we'd go to, what was it called? International Mail and all these different little gay stores. And then in drag, we'd terrorize Lane Bryant because I was a bigger girl. And Lane Bryant, of course, had for the big girls. So I'd go in there and be like, do you have this in a 16? You know? Oh, yeah. So malls, you know, they had their place. But they were a place to meet up and to, you know, do lunch or Orange Julius or hot dog on a stick or whatever, the food court. Well, they're gone. And now Westfield, which was the number one in the country that ran the malls, they said they're out of the U.S. market, period. There's no more malls. So that means 40% of the malls in the U.S. are closing. And a lot of them already have. So what are we going to do with them? Well, I think there's some great, great things being done where they're making housing. Malls were only one thing, shopping. They should be more than that. There should be, you should be able to basically live at a mall like you did in, like you do in Chicago. There's several of those high rises that are self-contained. So that way you don't have to go out in the winter. Malls should have housing, you know, and then the stores there in the mall should support the housing. And they're doing that in the Bay Area, Laguna Niguel. They're turning them into office spaces. UCLA bought a mall and turned it into a biometric research facility. So they're being repurposed. But doesn't it make you wonder where people are going now? And the answer is they're not going. Kids, us, people under 18, when we were back in the day, that was pretty much the only place we could go. We could go see a movie. We could. There's usually an arcade there, pet stores, that sort of stuff. You remember where your parents would drop you at the mall at like 10 in the morning, come back, pick you up 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and you weren't abducted or killed or shot or anything like that? You just, you know, had a date at the mall? Well, that doesn't happen anymore. So where are those kids going? They're not. They're staying in. They're playing games. They're meeting people online. And they're not barely going to parks. The kids today barely go out. They don't go out riding their bikes. They don't go on hikes. They don't go to the library. I used to go to the library a lot. Remember going to the library? They don't go to the library. They basically sit at their devices or go meet their friends to then sit around and be on their devices or play video games. It's kind of sad. And so malls are being repurposed. And what do you think is a good use for a mall? Put it down below. What would you like to see malls turned into? I've always thought they should be turned into sustainable farms. You know, that they should grow like on the roof of the malls and inside vertical gardens and then have restaurants there that use all of that food that they grow. And there is a mall doing that, by the way. I didn't make that idea up. A mall is doing that. They've turned it into vertical gardens and then the restaurants use what they're growing there. But I really believe multi-use housing, put apartments at malls, and then put stores down below that support the apartments. And then the stores will thrive, and then others will come. And who wouldn't want to live in like a, you know, a condo that's attached to an entire shopping complex? I mean, you know, so including grocery stores, by the way. That's the other thing. Malls never had grocery stores, and I always thought they should. Maybe they'd be around longer if they did. But what do you think they should do with malls? They're leaving, and it's Friday. We used to go to malls over the weekend. Remember, go see the movies, go eat, go get some things, some clothes or whatever. Where do you shop now? I'd love to hear that down below. We're not shopping at malls. So are you shopping at strip malls? Are you shopping at outdoor plazas? Are you doing most of your shopping online, Costco? Where do you shop now? Like for clothes. I go to the outlet mall. It's outside here in Las Vegas, called the Luxury Outlet Mall. And I go to Banana. This came from Banana Republic. It was $8. There's a Banana Republic outlet there, and everything's like so cheap. And I have a $1,500 credit card there, zero balance. I don't charge things. But when I do, I charge a couple hundred dollars worth of clothes and then pay for it over a month or two. But I go to the outlet mall. Where do you shop? If malls are closing, what should they become? But more importantly, where do you shop? And where do you, if you have kids or nieces, nephews, grandkids, where do they go nowadays if not the malls? I'd love to hear your comments down below. I really would. Put your comments down below on this Friday. Let me know. Where do you shop and what should malls become? So we have a lot. I want a lot of your comments today about a lot of things, about wrongful death and malpractice attorneys, about the next flu or the next virus. You know, you just got to go vegan. You do. You just have to go vegan because you don't worry about any of this stuff if you go vegan. I don't worry about, you know, problems with eggs. I don't eat them. I eat mung beans instead. All right. So Florida Disney World has always held an unsanctioned gay event every year. It's been for like 20 years now, 25 years. Gay days, they're called. The park doesn't officially condone them, but they welcome them. And then the resorts around the park have official events. Well, Pride Radio, which is part of iHeart, is one of the sponsors. And online, I got into a little tough with them because I said, look, Why are you encouraging gay people to go to Florida where there is actually two warnings from the HRC and the State Department about gays traveling to Florida because it's dangerous? So why are you encouraging people to go to Disney World to spend money in Florida instead of somewhere else? And they're like, look, this event's been going on forever. We support the LGBTQ community wherever they are. And there are gays that live in Florida that go there. And we want to support the gays that live in Florida, particularly in Orlando. There's a lot of gays. So we want to support them. And I'm like, the only thing you should be doing is encouraging them to move. I tell my friends, David and Toby, that live there, you guys, you know, you should consider moving out of that state. But they have a great point. Which one? 23 states are now going backwards for gay rights. And California and Oregon, Washington, those are too expensive. So what state can gays afford that are pro-gay? There aren't any. And that's the truth. There's only like six pro-gay states now in the country. Massachusetts, Vermont, California, Washington, Oregon, Maine, and a few others. And all the ones that are just too expensive. But I just don't think that gays should be going to Florida, should be being encouraged to go. Now, I haven't been, and maybe I should go and see if it's as bad as I think it is, and as they say it is in the news. But as long as Ron DeSantis is governor, whether Don't Say Gay has passed or is being, it doesn't matter if it's being repealed or whatever. Ron DeSantis is still the governor. They still ban books there. You know, gays are not welcome many places there. They think we're groomers, indoctrinators, all this other stuff. I think they're just having a big event that's going to be a target. And so I said so to Pride Radio, and they got all upset with me. They were like, well, you know, we support all gays, and while you choose not to, it's like, what do you mean I choose not to? You don't know who you're talking to, bitches. But that's a lot of people online don't know who they're talking to. I get all kinds of people telling me what I do and do not know. I'm like, bitch, you don't know me. You don't know my life. So what do you think? Is Florida fair game for gays, or should they stay out? I think they should stay out. And if Disney World doesn't like it, move. Oh, Carell, Disney World couldn't move. Yes, they could. They built it there once. They could build it some. They'd build new Disneylands. There is no reason that Disney World should stay in Florida. Florida hates them. It's a bigoted state. They should move the park. Over the next 5 years, it took them 5 years to build Disney World. They could build it anew somewhere else. They have their own fucking island. You know, really, they could build Disney World somewhere else in a state that is not so horrible. Although on the East Coast, there's not that. They'd have to build it in New York, of which there's no room, or Vermont, or Connecticut, then there's snow. I mean, there's a reason they built it in Florida. But I, for one, I don't want to spend. I want to go see my friends David and Toby in Orlando. I really do. But I'm very hesitant to spend money in Florida. I think it's a pretty violent state right now in terms of politics. People are fleeing Florida. NBC News just did an article about it. It's too divided. There's too much politics. And if you believe the National Weather Service now this year, they're going to be, you know, pounced by tornado or by hurricanes come hurricane season. So what do you guys think? Am I wrong? Should Pride Radio, you know, encourage gays to go to Florida and support the ones that are there and support Disney World, which is an ally of ours? You know, should we support it? I say stay away. You know, we're not wanted there. It's not a pleasant place for gays. My friends that live there say they're fine. They don't get harassed, but they don't go out. They barely go to lunch or dinner. They really are homebodies. I'm like, well, y'all don't have a large social circle and you don't go out. So how do you know? All right. Well, it is Friday. Did we catch everything? I'd like your comments below. Do you think I'm wrong for arguing about people not going, gays in particular, not going to Florida? It's like Texas. If you're a woman or a gay person or a progressive, what the fuck are you doing going to Texas? Get out. You know, just get out. Don't go. And if you live there, move. All right. Have a happy weekend. Leave all of your comments down below. All of my patrons at patreon.com/reallycarell. I love you. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so I don't hurt anybody. We will see you on Monday, God willing, and nothing else go wrong with me. I'm hopeful. And thank you all for joining me this week. You know I love you so much. I do. I love all of you.
Broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.